Hey, what's your problem? You have business problems? We have business solutions. Well, maybe. Life is a fight. In business, every day is a fight. So, hey, what's your problem?
Exactly. Thank you, John David Wells, for doing our intro for us. Check him out. I think he's got a website, johndavidwells.com. He provided the voice for that intro. Yes, this is What's Your Problem, the podcast show that talks about business owners' problems, what they're going through right now instead of what they've been through. You know, all those other things kind of talk about. They look back and they're retrospective and they talk about the challenges they had. I want to know about the challenges they're having right now. And we're concentrating on people that are around the Spring Hill, Thompson Station, Franklin area here in Middle Tennessee. I am your host, Jim McCarthy, and we're coming to you live, well, semi-live, we're recorded, we're not live, from the Big Dot Inc. Studios, right off of Jim Warren Road here in Spring Hill, Tennessee. So, oh man, it had to be probably the beginning of 2020. My wife says, hey, why don't we get an SUV and replace the truck for the RV? So I'm like, all right, what do you want to look at? You know, I really always liked the Toyota Sequoia. Okay, makes sense. That's a nice car. I remember you really liking that at one point in time. And, I'm willing to trade in my truck. So I start looking around at Toyotas. And I go to Toyota of Cool Springs. And I run into a gentleman there who was very completely affable, came off terrific, really tall. And as we started getting into it, we started talking about the car deal and everything. And I wanted a one-pay lease, which was kind of funny because it took them by surprise. They weren't aware that I had worked several years in the car business. So we went for a test drive. He and I got talking, of course, and he let me take an extended test drive. We went around, I would imagine, on a circuit that was a lot longer than what they typically allow you to do. So we really got into a nice groove of a conversation. Very likable guy. We get back and I said, dude, I got to say something. Does anybody ever tell you how much you look like Mr. T? And he goes, funny you should say that. That's actually kind of a side hustle of mine. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show Mr. Stefan Davis Boyd, also known as Mr. Supreme T. How are you doing, sir? Welcome to the show.
I'm good. Glad to be here. To be here, Jim. It's funny you remember that extended test drive we went on.
Was that supposed to happen that way?
Not necessarily. I don't take no jibber jabber, but you were a good fellow to talk to. So
it's not the normal test drive you would normally have, right?
No, not at all, man. Yeah. Not at all.
But, well, why that day? Why did you decide to take one with me then?
Man, I'm just a people's person, and if I get the right vibe about somebody, man, I'll spend that extra time with them, you know. And you were definitely a super nice guy to speak with, and I think I just enjoyed listening to your voice.
You know? Thank you. Well, at least it's coming directly into your ear holes now.
So. Absolutely.
So you were selling cars. You were in the car business for quite a long time, mm-hmm. 6-7 years or so. Mm-hmm. That was an instant connection you and I had because I sold cars for about 3 years and we talked about that business and everything. And how did this whole thing come about? I mean, you know, was it something that you wanted to brand yourself in the car business by?
No, not necessarily. This actually started around this time last year. For Halloween, I just people had always told me, I favored Mr. T, and I said, screw it, let me just. And I've always wore a mohawk, but not to this extreme with the sideburns or anything. And I decided to go as Mr. T for Halloween, and I think I was selling GMCs at the time, and I remember going to work for at least 2 or 3 weeks leading up to Halloween as just Mr. T, man, and there was just so much happiness in the customers' faces seeing me, and then also seeing how much I resembled Mr. T too. And you know, I had all the plastic gold chains on and everything. This isn't real, don't get me wrong, but I've upgraded my repertoire since then. It's stainless steel, but right.
It's got the weight to it, right?
It's got the weight to it. It's 24 pounds, so it's heavy, man. But yeah, the plastic days are over with, and but man, spreading the joy and seeing just seeing all those happy faces every single day, man. I decided just to do it for that two or three week period, and it was amazing. So
did you start branding yourself, like making people? Because how did you? I remind me. Did you actually brand yourself to me as Mr. T when I left, or was it Stefan?
I think we were definitely remember if it was. I think I had met you. I had met you right when I got to Toyota. Okay. I think it was in early February, mid February, because I remember it was still cold outside. So let me go back real fast. So no, I don't think I did at that time. But now that I think of it, I went back to normal after Halloween and everything was over. Grew my hair back out, just went back to looking like.
You didn't have the mohawk then.
No. I had the mohawk in a way. It wasn't hardcore.
It was implied.
Correct. Yeah. But yeah, man. And, I started all this back in March again, when COVID started.
Right. Were there challenges at the dealership at that point?
There were. We had seen a major drop off of amount of traffic,
right.
You know, traffic. And also my biggest thoughts were, man, this is going to devastate a lot of people. It's going to force a lot of people to be in their homes for a longer period of time. And,
right.
You know, who knows when it's going to be over. But I wanted to find a way. I didn't start this as a branding kind of thing. I started this to just make people happy, actually.
Right.
I just wanted to make people smile again. I said, what better way to make people smile than looking like Mr. T, you know? And so that's how I, you know, shaved my hair again. And I was like, hey, man, let's go with this thing. Told my barber, let's go this thing full on, man. My man Terrence over.
I mean, you're a spitting image of him from, you know, early to mid 80s when he really came to, you know, be the public persona that he became in, you know, Rocky movies and the A-Team and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a particular character that you like to embody? Because I've seen the online presence, mm-hmm. and what I can appreciate being that I'm, you know, like everybody else, a struggling online social media, trying to get as much attention as we can get through all of our personal brands and our, mm-hmm. you know, even for Big Dot and everything. Your numbers have hockey sticked. Is that correct over mm-hmm. the past several months?
Yeah. Yep. They've jumped up quite a bit, man. And I think the biggest part of that is that I focus on trying to reach not only the older generation, you know, the people who already know about Mr. T, but I found a way to reach it to the kids as well, to the teenagers who, you know, come up to me like, who is Mr. T? Because, you know, I mean, how can a guy that, you know, wearing all this gold and everything, this crazy image, not be appealing to a younger generation who, you know, they mainly look up to athletes with rappers and everything else like that. So, no, I can't sing or rap or dance or anything, but
neither could he.
I can pity the fool pretty good.
That's right. I mean, your impression is pretty dead on. I mean, you go out and you do this thing. It doesn't take like what you're talking about, the talents of singing or acting or dancing or anything. You just embody the character and remind, because there's kind of like a thing going on right now where everybody's tapping into a retro.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird because mm-hmm. I was online the other day on Facebook and all of a sudden I've been seeing these videos of the Evel Knievel toy, the motorcycle bike, motorcycle bike.
Yep.
And, you know, you kind of crank the thing up, you crank it back a little bit and off he goes. You could send him off jumps and everything.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a lot of retro type of things happening. So your timing is very good. And I would imagine that, you know, not only with kids not knowing who Mr. T is, but being reintroduced, he's on the surface an intimidating character, right? Mm-hmm. But in the middle, I mean, Clubber Lang in the Rocky movies was a very intimidating character. Mm-hmm. But then Mr. T then, you know, transferred over to the A-Team and B.A. Baracus, right?
Yep.
Baracus. I'm a child of the 80s. I should know this. But he's really a sweetheart of a guy.
Yes, absolutely.
You
know?
And is it something that have you connected with him at all?
Or? I haven't connected with Mr. T himself just yet. I've spoken with his daughter. And it's funny you mention that because that that's the aspect I put out there about myself, man. People always ask me, oh, how much time do you spend actually acting like Mr. T?
Yeah.
I go, acting wise, maybe 5% of the time, 95% of the time I'm dressed like this, I'm myself.
Right.
Like, if you walk up to me, I'm myself.
Yeah.
And much like Mr. T, we both love, I love kids, man. I love seeing the smile on kids' faces. That's why I give back to the Boys and Girls Club and different charities and things like that. And Mr. T was huge in the giving back to the community of Chicago and kids. And
was it? So you've done a lot of backstory and studying up on him, right?
Honestly, it wasn't the studying up part. It was the things that I already embodied doing. I already enjoyed doing. Then I've kind of found out along the way, like, oh my gosh, we have this many interests. Like, and here's the other thing, much like the character from the 18, B.A. Baracus, I'm absolutely terrified of airplanes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely hate flying.
Really? Okay.
So absolutely hate it. And Mr. G hates airplanes. B.A. Baracus, we all hate airplanes. So I ain't getting on no plane, sucker, if I can avoid. So, yes, I hate airplanes, man. But absolutely, I just love making people smile. And, you know, even Mr. G's daughter, her and I had a face-to-face, a FaceTime conversation a couple of months back. And one of the things she mentioned was, you know, her dad is just an absolute sweetheart. But, mm-hmm. you know, when people think of Mr. T, they see the toughness. They remember Clubber Lang.
I remember that those scenes from Rocky, man. He would mm-hmm. crinkle his forehead. Can you do that look? There's that,
dead meat.
You actually did the one, I think it was on one of your TikToks or Instagram. You did, be like, why don't you come over here and get with a real man?
I did do it, man.
Okay, let me give us a sample real quick.
Oh, geez. So,
I'm putting you on the spot. Right. I'm sorry.
Prediction? Pain.
Nice. I'm going to get some applause for that. There we go. Yeah. That's awesome, brother. So, being that this is a podcast called What's Your Problem, I got to ask, you know, as you're building this thing up, first of all, what are your expectations? Where do you want it to go? When did you leave Toyota and make it kind of a full-time thing?
I left at the, so here's the deal. I left at the end of June and went out to Las Vegas and had the time of my life out there because I always, you know, since I've been doing this, I had been getting a lot of outreach from people in California, and I decided, hey, let me check out Las Vegas. And when I got back, I decided, oh, I'm just about to leave. I'm just about to move there.
Right.
So, I actually get back from Las Vegas, put my house up for sale immediately. You know, I'm just flowing with the punches, man. You know, just flowing with the punches, just making it roll. I was like, I don't have any kids, no wife or anything. Let me just go at this thing and sure. try somewhere new. I remember pausing for a second and getting down on my hands and knees and praying and asking the Lord, am I making the right decision to go to Las Vegas? You know, the house was already had an offer on it. I was like, oh, that was a blessing. It's all done. So it must be meant for me to go. But man, I tell you this, 3 weeks prior to that, I had started reaching out to people looking for an 18 van mm-hmm. or looking for, you know, Chevy van I can paint up or anything else like that.
Right.
And, this is what brought all this together. After 2 days after I had prayed, almost immediately, I get a phone call from a gentleman that reached out to 2 weeks prior to, and he tells me, he said, hey, long story short, hey man, I love what you do. I have an 18 van, you know, I'd seen a bunch of pictures of it and I want you to have it. I love what
he was just going to give it to you.
He's yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yep.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yep.
So out in Vegas, you kind of got on, but before you went to Vegas, you got on your knees or went while you were out there.
It was when I got back. I had already come back home, had already been back at the house and got an offer on my house.
Right.
But I mean, just got down and prayed and right after house, just wanted that reassurance. I was ready to go.
Yeah.
But I just needed that reassurance from the Lord. And amen.
How do you get reassurance? You came out of the car business. There's no reassurance in that business at all. I mean, no, you know,
I was good at what I did. So they made it a little bit easier, man. But I tell you what, when when I got that phone call from Jeremy Derringer, was the gentleman's name, super great guy. He's still been one of my biggest supports since I've been doing all this, man. And, but anyway, so I go up to Indiana. I haul the van back, and man, the entire time I'm driving this 18 van back, which is parked outside, I am absolutely, my head is in the clouds. I still can't believe any of this happened to me.
Right.
So I get overturned with the van, you know, it's parked in front of the house. People seeing it around Spring Hill all the time, Franklin, you know, and social media sees me with it, put the two and two together, and things just take off. Like, next level. I mean, that next week I had people calling out for doing commercial spots, doing, hey, man, you mind doing some advertising with us? And I was like, man, if that ain't a sign for me to stick around here a bit longer, then I don't know what else is. So,
well, I mean, you're the real deal. I mean, you look exactly like them. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, you really kind of took it to the next level. And that's when I really started, you know, standing up. I was paying attention right after our first meeting. I mean, I started following you on social media. I was already an instant fan because of what you were doing and your ambition, where it was going. I thought you were going to brand it for the car business, which I'm a huge proponent of. Anybody who can make themselves a brand or a dealership within a dealership, I'm a huge fan of that. There are many, very few people out there that do that really well, and it does take time. But here's a way that you could have skyrocketed and really kind of put the pedal to the metal on a car business career, but you completely got out of it. And now other things are starting to come to fruition. You know, you had certain things along the pike that really started to solidify your decision. The van coming out of nowhere, was it, you know, mechanically sound at that point?
Oh, man, it's painted up, everything.
Yeah.
Runs like a dream. I mean, I drive that sucker probably 300 miles a week, hands down. My credit card knows it, so trust really? Me. It's $30 a pop, son. But,
just to fill it up with gas.
Just to fill her up.
Oh, my gosh.
But, man, that $30 is definitely worth it every single time.
Yeah, it's a business expense at that point.
Oh, man. And plus, on the way here, you know, driving down I-40, people pulling up beside, extremely dangerous, I warn you. Like, y'all stop it.
They're like, wait a minute.
Y'all stop pulling up beside me, pulling the phone down and slowing down.
Like, you know, David, that van looks familiar. It looks like the A-Team van.
And then you pull up next to you, and then what happens?
They see you driving it. They're like, oh, my God, they get the phone out. And I'm like, as I'm trying to hold it in between your car and a tractor trailer beside me, I'm just like, all right, let's get out of here. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it must have happened six times on the way here, man. But it's,
you have any like lettering or you know, logos or anything, you know, call to action, anything on the van?
So I think that was the only thing I've added to the van since it was given to me. I've added my logo on the left driver's side door. It's Mr. Supreme T. And on the back I have my actual logo, you know, Mr. T cartoon, and Mr. Supreme T on the back. But that has also turned into a great deal of happiness because, man, I tell you this, Jim, I tell you this, all the time when I go out, I recall getting many messages, man, from people out of nowhere to my Instagram. People will message me. A guy messaged me last week. He said, man, I didn't get a chance to wave at you or anything, but I seen you and you just made my day.
That's cool.
I was having the absolute worst week of my life, and just seeing that 18 van and seeing you in it absolutely made me made my day, and you've made me so happy just seeing you. So, I mean, when you can do that to people, man, I don't know what else needs to be done, you know?
Right.
So that's one thing that, that really makes filling that sucker up and just driving around worth it.
So, I mean, is there a monetization coming every day to help you to make sure that you're being taken care of?
Yeah.
A provision?
Yeah. As a daily thing, I have quite a few things I'm doing. I'm on Cameo. I go out, I do freelance advertising and things. That is by far. But also, here's the other thing. As far as the problem is just keeping everything going and just keeping my own head in it, just, all right, let's go out and get the next client. Let's go out to get the next client. Because once I start with that first one, it's easy to, you know, make it a snowball effect. But sometimes you'll go a few days without somebody, that phone ringing, somebody say, hey, I want you to do a commercial for me. You're like, oh, when's the next one's coming in? But it was the same thing in the car business. So I've learned to deal with, okay, you're going to have droughts, you're going to have ups, and you have downs. It's part of it. But
well, what about your car business training? Because I'm a huge proponent. And those who know me know I've worked in the business. I bring it up a lot. I say it was one of the best experiences and educational experiences of my life because it teaches you. I thought I was pretty good at selling to begin with, you know, before I got into the car business. I did a lot of video and voiceover. I still do, of course. But at the time, I was in radio, so I didn't have to rely on sales. So I got out of radio, got into the car business, and then realized how little I was actually good at sales. I was good at selling and presenting myself, learning about the car and telling the story of the car. I was not a good closer, you know, which just separates the men from the boys. So that was the thing I really had to learn. A lot of the tactics and techniques that I use for follow-up, getting people into the dealership and things of that nature, those different nuances that they you learn in that business. Did you take any of those with you going and doing this or applying those type of tactics to what you're doing now?
In a way, yes. The same, I'm still the same guy I was in the car business.
Right.
And, when I was selling cars, even before Mr. G or anything else like that, I was always a people's person. Like, I was always a guy that as soon as we're done, as soon as we start talking within the first 5 minutes, I will have your trust.
Yeah.
And I would guarantee you that.
And you were right. You had mine. I mean, I liked you right off the bat.
And I think that's the biggest part of closing a deal is not just trying to sell a car and be done with it. That's the biggest mistake a lot of guys make in the business. But you need to reassure somebody on you're going to be there for them when they need you, or you're going to be the guy that they can call when they have a question. And I tell you from experience, man, I've had situations where people will call me, you know, middle of the night, you know, 10, 11 o'clock at night, customers asking me if buying this car is the right decision. When somebody can do that.
Yeah.
That's how I know I had a lasting impact. Cause who the heck calls their car salesman and say, am I making the right decision buying this thing tomorrow?
Yeah. Did you keep a list of book your customers and take it with you?
Well,
I mean, at least the relationships.
The relationships, also a big thing that I did was, you know, adding those customers on social media.
Yeah.
So those same people that I have as followers, and a lot of those people were clients of mine.
They become like flaming advocates like me.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. And I appreciate you for
it. I didn't buy from you, but I mean, you know, it was a beneficial meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I became a fan.
Correct. And you're just like those customers, you know, even if I don't sell somebody a car, that doesn't mean I can't have a relationship with them.
Or that they don't know somebody who may need a car.
Correct.
Yeah. But I mean, in this case, you know, in this town especially, you never know who you're getting in front of.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, you might, you know, these days, somebody may know somebody within that client list that, you know, is a talent agent or, you know, it can connect you with a speakers bureau or something like that. I think there's actually something there for you speaking once, you know, the events kind of pick up again. Is there a website people can go to and check out? Do you have anything like that yet?
If they can find me easily on my Facebook page, Mr. Supreme T, Instagram, TikTok.
And it's all Mr. Supreme T.
Everything Mr. Gotcha. YouTube.
Do you have a URL picked out where they can set up a landing page for you?
I haven't picked out a URL just yet. That is coming up next.
Right.
I am taking care of that next.
Is Mr. Supreme T available or .com or... We should probably
unless somebody hears this podcast and takes it. So I'm coming for you, sucky. Take my URL. Now I'm about to go buy it today. I'm about to go buy it right now.
Well, you can always go for like, you know, MrSupremeT.org or, you know, .co or something.
Like that. Is it available? I go check. Yeah, it's been available this whole time up until about an hour ago.
That's funny.
Man, it's awesome.
Okay, so basically keeping in the nature of the podcast, I got to ask, what are some of the problems you're trying to overcome at this point?
I think as far as problems go, I mean, just not being able to build up certain established areas of social media. There's a couple of social media platforms that I've neglected.
Yeah.
In the last 5 years, just because of my own problem. I think Instagram is where I have, you know, about 7,600 followers. That's fine. TikTok is one that I have 56,000, 57,000 followers, something like that. So it's growing. But
that's nothing to balk at, man.
But something, appreciate that. Yeah. But something,
and they're all authentic. They're all, you know, engaged.
They are. Yeah. They are. But I tell you what I have neglected, LinkedIn, for instance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, people don't realize how much potential is on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And it's professionally too.
Mm-hmm.
So recently, in the last month and a half, I've been on LinkedIn more than I've been on Facebook. And I'm not going to lie and say I've been on there more than TikTok, but more than Facebook, because LinkedIn is a little more procured. You know, it's not as political. And some of the other things that you see on Facebook, you're not going to see on LinkedIn, because people try to keep it professional as possible.
It's all about business, man. Correct.
But man, I tell you this, if you are looking to get into an industry, or if you are part of an industry, like I wanted to get into video game acting and things like that.
Right.
Jump on LinkedIn. You can't go at these people on Facebook that work for companies like Activision and, you know, Blizzard Games and things like that, that'll reach out to you, or WWE.
Yeah.
Man, jump on LinkedIn. Just go and hit connect on 30, 40 people. You're bound to get five people out of that industry that'll accept your request and at least look at your page.
Right.
I mean, I'm friends with, you know, wrestlers I watched growing up. Jeff Jarrett, lives in Hendersonville. Who knew that? Love Jeff Jarrett.
Right.
John Bradshaw Lakefield, another guy. He added me back and,
right,
you know, viewed my profile. And I'm like, you know, that's where my focus should have been. Not just trying to build up an Instagram following or anything.
But you never know. You just keep putting stuff out there. If it's good, valuable content and people have fun with it,
mm-hmm,
there you go.
It doesn't matter where they see it.
It's them-centric. It's less about you and more about them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I like your approach right from the top of this show. You just want to make people happy. That's where mm-hmm. this is kind of being born at. That's a great place to start from. Now, I got to ask, how many Rocky impersonators have come out of the woodwork to say, hey, you want to collaborate?
Oh, my gosh. a lot of the Rocky guys are...
There's not really many. I mean, you can't really collaborate.
There's not a lot of young ones. I mean, I'm 27. So they're normal. I love those guys. I mean, a couple of guys are, they're older. One guy that actually had... that was actually a longtime Rocky fan, has his own show on Amazon.
Yeah.
On Amazon Prime. A movie they did about it. It's called The Pretender.
Mm-hmm.
Some people may have heard of it. Well, this guy was a longtime Rocky guy, Rocky Balboa fan. He looks like him, but he's a little bit older now, so he's not a guy I can get in the ring and go beat up or anything like that.
Right. You do fake fighting and stuff like that, right?
We can do some fake fighting,
yeah,
but it's going to be very noticeable difference in the age.
Yeah. There's got to be some young guy out there that can pull off the Rocky impersonation, the impression, or even, how many other guys. I was never a huge fan of the A-Team. I not because of any
reason. Don't give me no jibber jabber, sucker. No,
I'm just kidding. I'm going to go crawl into my ashtray now. But the thing is that, not because of any reason, I just didn't watch the show.
Mm-hmm.
But we saw the movie several years when it came out. I think it was like 06 or 07. And it was actually, I remember watching the movie because we got a break from our kids at that point, and it was like a date. But anyway, it was a fun movie. It was fun to watch and everything. But none of those characters seemed to be as notable as Mr. T, B.A. Baracus,
mm-hmm.
And so is it possible to find other people within the A-Team sphere to do something with, too?
I'm sure I can find some guys that'll go on this journey with me with the A-Team.
Right.
The hardest guy would be to find is the crazy one, Murdoch.
So, Murdoch.
Yeah.
Or the guy, was that the guy who smoked the cigars all the time?
No, that was Hannibal.
Hannibal.
I love it when a plan comes together, but Murdoch was the crazy one. Was the crazy one that was in the psychiatric ward. The thing about Murdoch is I got to find a guy that's really crazy in real life to do that. So he's got to be a man on the edge. So if you're out there.
Any other things that are happening coming out of the woodwork for you that you've never anticipated with this whole thing?
Man, just being approached for different things.
Because, I saw you at Miller's Thrillers the other night. That's kind of what sparked me to reach back out and say, I need to get you on this.
Mm-hmm.
And what you were doing there was knocking doors in. So if those of you who are listening or watching the podcast, Miller's Thrillers is another guy I want to have on. His name is David Miller. He caught my attention way back in the day when we first moved here in 05. he would put his picture upside down on little advertisements around Spring Hill. Hmm. And he would say, all his things would say, made you look. And my God, it
that's
got
brilliant.
Your, yeah, it got your attention. Anyway, he works for a Cry Like Realtors. He's, and it's almost at this point, a tertiary, I would imagine a tertiary source of income for him doing real estate. Because shortly after I started noticing the ads, he put up Miller's Thrillers. He's got a big piece of property out by, west of Spring Hill, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you should go check it out. Miller'sThrillers.net or .com. Do Google a search on it. You'll be able to find it. So he, I guess he did he get in contact with you?
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
How'd that come down?
He reached out to me and just pitched me out. He said, hey, man, we do a hunted maze and a hunted zombie paintball run. Yeah. I had never heard anything like this. He said, yeah, so we take people out on tractors and load them up, give them paintball guns, let them go shoot 60, 70 zombies running through the woods at night. And he said, hey, man, would you like to be a part of it? I was like,
yeah.
Yeah. I was like, that sounds freaking awesome. But so I get there, and first time when I seen you last week,
I would imagine that you probably didn't recognize me.
No, like you had some. Yeah, I didn't recognize your voice, but I think you were painted up or something, weren't you?
I was. I'm basically. Well, this is my second year emceeing the main stage.
Oh, gotcha.
So that's kind of my thing.
And I didn't realize how big that place was.
Like,
man.
Right?
That place is freaking huge.
It is very large, and it's come a long way. I mean, this year I think they have the. There's like a pirate acrobatic show. Are you there every weekend for the month?
I will be there more as we close in, closer to the closer to Halloween. So I'll be there this weekend for sure.
Saturday?
Yeah, Friday and Saturday, actually.
I will be there on Saturday.
Yep, I'll be there Friday and Saturday, kicking the indoors, scaring the heck out of kids.
Well, let me ask you this. A lot of parents go through there. They obviously know who you are. The kids, maybe not so much. Are they even anticipating you kicking indoors?
They have zero idea. They have zero idea. Mr. Supreme T is on the other side of that door.
Are you going to do zero the zombie idea. Makeup, maybe, and be a zombified Mr. T?
Oh, no, man. I'm too handsome for that. Come on, man.
You are a handsome fella.
Appreciate it.
I got to say that. And the funny thing is that you know, even the physique you got down. You know, I mean, you're working on that, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Were you this big the last time I saw you when you were selling toys?
I was not. I was about 220 pounds. Yeah.
240?
I was about 220 then. I'm about 245 now.
And it's all pure lean muscle.
Lean muscle, man. Thanks to my boy LC in Lebanon. Got me working out right.
Is that where are you out of Spring Hill?
I spend more time in Spring Hill, Franklin, than anywhere else, but I've moved out closer to Lebanon now.
Okay.
And a buddy of mine who's actually helped me get in shape with his physique has been a big part of that. My buddy Bo, we've been working out every single day, man, sticking to a regiment and just getting big, man. And I think also adding that aspect of the weightlifting to my Mr. T thing has been another area that I've been seeing develop too for social media presence. Because I mean, who doesn't want to go to the gym and see this handsome sucker with a mohawk lifting weights? You know,
I would imagine people want to get photo ops and everything while they're working out. And
just wait till I go fully dressed up to the gym. That's going to be a lot of fun, man. That's going to be a lot of fun.
I mean, I haven't been to a gym, obviously, for such a long time. I've just been trying to lose weight just by eating better and stuff like that. So I haven't been to the gym in quite a while. I'm not sure if I could do it now because you got so many people there. I got to set my phone up and get the right angle and, you know, film myself doing these this bench press. And I'm like, I would just be sitting there just wrinkling my nose and going, really? Just can't we just work out, you know? I hope you don't do that, but I mean, I think you have on occasion, but you know, you have somebody.
I don't set the phone up and try to get the best angles or anything like
that. Does that happen a lot these days?
You have those people, but you know, most of those people are at Planet Fitness. So, you know, most of those people are at Planet Fitness, man. So you can, here's the other thing. I played football a couple of years back, about 5-6 years ago now, and mm-hmm. I hadn't been back in the gym since in about 6 years.
Yeah.
So, and I've always told myself, oh, you know, I don't need to work. I'm good, blah, blah, blah. I hadn't felt this much better being back in the gym in the last month than I have in the last 6 years. Because moving your body in that way, Jim, is a lot like it's a lot like starting a car and letting it warm up.
Right.
You know, you walk around, you see people, you know, on canes and this and the other, people looking older than they should be. Obviously not you. But
oh, buddy, I'm old. Trust me. you're talking about
42, right?
I'm 45.
See?
But you're not even 30 yet. So I mean, you know, once you hit 40, everything starts falling apart. Someone told me that. I was going, okay, thanks. I'm going to be 40 this year. He's like, oh yeah. After you turn 40, everything starts falling apart. Mm-hmm. I'm going, that's great. Thanks for telling me that. That's wonderful. But you know, here's to the best. And yeah, he was right.
Well, but here's something. We don't have to accept that, Jaffa.
That's true.
And man, I'm telling you, if you, and nobody's saying you need to go in there and bench press the house or anything else like that. Just if you just go, even if you get some workout home equipment and actually use it, because anybody can buy workout home equipment or anything. But if you can just get your body in motion and doing those, picking up those weights again,
yeah,
you feel so much better when you're tired, you're waking up sores and things like that.
That's a good pain.
Man, it's a great pain.
Yeah.
It's a reassuring pain. It doesn't make that cheeseburger you eat the next day feel as bad. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah. The more you do it, the less you want to eat like that because you want to fuel your body.
Correct.
And it kind of releases those that chemical reaction, I guess.
Yep.
Because I did do that for a while. I did Bill Phillips' the 12-week thing. Body for Life.
Really?
And he's a guy I interviewed on my last podcast, and he's kind of getting back. And I don't know if you're familiar with Bill Phillips. He did the whole Body for Life book and everything back in the late 90s, early 2000s, back when you were like 8.
So, 5.
Yeah, 5. But so getting back to LinkedIn and solving that problem of yours, just trying to get more into it, I think Mr. T giving sales advice would be hilarious. And it's legit sales advice because you got the track record with the car business.
Yeah. You know what? I hadn't really thought about doing that, man. That
Mr. Business T, like Mr. dress up in Business? A suit,
mm.
Dress in a suit with the chains and everything.
That is a great idea. And that actually was my LinkedIn profile picture.
That's awesome.
That was my LinkedIn profile picture. Like no joke. So it was up there. I took it down and put a picture of me dressed like this in the van back up there. But yes, that actually was. So it's funny you mentioned that. I still have that picture. I'll give it to you.
It's kind of like, you know, the dichotomy of the Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got Smart Hulk now with the combination of Banner and the Hulk.
Yep.
So, but man, how can people get a hold of you? It's through Facebook, Instagram, TikTok.
Yep.
We got to get you, you know, some sort of a website URL. You'll let us know and we'll put it out on the Facebook page and everything. So I want to thank you for being a part of the show, man.
No problem, Jim. I appreciate it.
This is actually this is the first recorded instance of this show that we decided to go on. And, you know, we're kind of working out the bugs and the wrinkles and everything. So it might be probably, I don't know, episode 2, 3, or 4. The first ones I'm reserving for us here at Big Dot. So that'll be the first episode. If you're listening to this, check that episode out. I'm sure it's out by now. So it should be episode 1, talking about what is Big Dot's problem. So thanks for being on, man. I appreciate it. If you're listening, please like and subscribe. You can go to bigdotlighting.com/podcast and find all the places that you can subscribe, like, and share. That would be wonderful. But man, thanks again for being here. I appreciate it.
No problem at all, Jim. I appreciate it. And don't give me no jibba jabba, sucker. Arr!